Welcome one and all as we close out this big week of the first criminal trial of a former president. We've got updates on that and more with Brett Ehrlich. Brett, how's it going?
I'm so excited to be here in the neighborhood, John. Everything I do when it's on a Friday is pales in comparison. Even all the partying and the getting blackout drunk, it's not as fun as this show. All the drugs I inject into places, honestly, you don't want to know about. Not as fun, John. Adventurous. I careen through a primordial ooze in my own mind, and that is wildly entertaining. But none of that is nearly equivalent to one drop of the fun I've already had today on the show, making you squirm over my rampant, unbridled, problematic drug use.
Okay, there is underselling your product. I had to tell Yaz to stop saying, like, I have my podcast and I think it's fun. I told her to stop saying that. Like, don't say, I think it's kind of fun.
That's the drug.
And then there's overselling, which you've gone way too far. I no longer even want to do this show, but you're all right. I do not want to know anywhere about where you're injecting drugs. But anyway, thank you, Brett, for being here because we do have a lot to talk about. We have a big packed first hour of the show. But whatever, who cares? That's just news or whatever. That's just what's going on in government. In the aftermath, we not only have our garbage people of the week, and I've got some true garbage, but we also have a plausible excuse to discuss board games and whether these board games have gone woke. Okay, we'll be talking about that more in the aftermath. Now, I know some of you are thinking, but I'm listening to the podcast right now. And I get that. I love that. For a reason which I will describe in one sec. But if you're doing that, head over to youtube.com/thedamagereport. You can have a lot of fun. There's content there that isn't on the podcast. So if you enjoy the podcast, why not have a little bit more? Okay, we have a lot of content that isn't necessarily on the podcast. Happy Half Hour, for instance. What happened on Happy Half Hour earlier this week?
Don't remember, John. Tried to drink and forget how sad the rest of my life is when I'm not on this show.
So there's underselling, overselling, and inability to sell because you were too drunk when you recorded it. Anyway,
we learned 12 phrases about whiskey and terms in the glossary. Oh. So you won't be called a tater by all the other whiskey aficionados.
Is that a thing they do?
Yeah. Anyway. But all the time we're pushing the boundaries of what is slightly not pornographic enough to be blocked by AI image generation.
I think it is amazing that you've reached this point without being banned from these services. And I think it's about time they get on that. Anyway, speaking of podcasts though, before we move into our first story, we are nominated for a Shorty Best News and Politics Podcast. And it's going to be up to you whether we win or not. Myself, the co-host, the team, we've done everything we can to get that nomination, but now it's going to be on you. And it's relatively easy to vote. You go to tyt.com/vote TDR. I got it on the first try. And the cool thing about it is you get to live out your dream of voting more than once, okay? Yeah. You can vote today, you can vote tomorrow, you can vote every day, and you should, because I want to destroy all those other podcasts, which I'm sure are made by great people doing great work. But I don't care about that. Daddy's got to win. And it's up to you to make sure that it actually happens. So head over there and vote. And every time you do it, just know that I am watching from on high and nodding in approval.
With John, that said, John has a Webby. I have my own Webby. We each have our own Webby. Mm-hmm. If you vote for this show for a Shorty, John will then have something I don't have. And it will make me wildly jealous. And I think I think it would be good for me to get taken down a peg.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the EGOT equivalent is. If you have a Webby, a Streamy, a Shorty, we should come up with something. But they are different awards and I want them all. They're my precious and I must have them and I must not be kept from them. But anyway, at this point, I think that we are now obligated to talk about some news. So we're going to do that, starting with this.
Supposed to be in New Hampshire. I'm supposed to be in Georgia. I'm supposed to be in North Carolina, South Carolina. I'm supposed to be in a lot of different places campaigning. But I've been here all day on a trial that really is a very unfair trial.
Yes, Donald Trump would much prefer to be campaigning in all of those states rather than in trial. If only there was a phrase about how if you don't want your time to be wasted, you shouldn't do the crime that might lead to it being wasted. We should work on that. But you probably were focusing less on what he was saying and more on what he was holding. A big stack of papers. Is that some sort of like bombshell bit of evidence that's going to bust this whole hush money trial wide open? No, it's not going to be. It's just op-eds from conservatives. Take a look at this.
These are all stories. This is over the last few days from legal experts. This is Wall Street Journal editorial. But all of these are stories from legal experts saying how this is not a case. The case is ridiculous. This is another one. The case is a ridiculous Trump indictment. It's missing fraud. There is no fraud. All of these stories are stories of how, and these are done by the experts and editorials, Bragg falsified business record, and he falsifies them. He's the one. He's the fraud. But take a look at all of these are stories. You see them here. Bragg's indictment even falls as an indictment.
Okay, I think we've gotten to the bottom of why Donald Trump is falling asleep in court. I think he's talking to himself. We cut that down. Swear to God, he spent 4 solid minutes flipping through a stack of papers that nobody could read. Now, that is not evidence. That is literally just like Fox News articles that he had some poor schmuck print out in color. Probably it's Simon Simonson Science, so that he could hold it up. And that is, I think now, the oldest thing that has ever happened on the internet. He had articles printed out so he could show them to people. Not as evidence, by the way. It's not like those legal experts are part of his team. They're not on his legal team. He's not talking about legal defenses. It's literally just like people on Fox News saying that he's innocent or whatever. And he says that it's all recent. Some of them are recent. Someone screen capped. There was a year old op-ed in there. Some poor bastard had to just scroll through pages of Google looking for any positive words about Donald Trump to make Donald Trump feel better. In what is, I think, not just the oldest thing that's ever happened on the internet, but also the clearest refutation of fact not caring about your feelings. Trump sure seems to think that the feelings are the important part of this. Brett, we have more, but what do you think?
Listen, there is reams of evidence, reams of cutting edge evidence that I have on this. Look at all the evidence I have. Now, is this evidence that would exonerate Trump? No, it's a DVD of weeds. But there's more, John. I have video evidence. I have it in my hands. Now, this is a high school presentation of Hamlet I did when I was in high school. But if I show it to people, it's a physical thing. What am I going to do? Tell people that in this hand, I have billions and billions of counter arguments to Donald Trump, who just said someone print the internet. No, this doesn't. This isn't cool. I also have games on this. That can't take that serious.
Games.
Not only is it such a huge stack, or it's not that huge a stack. It takes him a long time to go through it, but also he stapled each story. So the one corner is like comically unwieldy right there. Oh my God, it's so good. So it looks like a lot on one corner, but the other corner, it's just like, what is that? 50 pages. I feel like it's not a ream. You don't have a ream of stories. It's amazing.
No, he might get legally reamed, but he does not have a ream of stories. This is what happens. This and everything that Elon Musk does are examples of what happens when you don't have someone around you who will say, hey, that's kind of dumb. You shouldn't do that. That's stupid. And everybody needs that person.
We were that person for TYT. By the way, like back in the day, the way that we would order graphics, and I tell all the new people to come on this, is Jake would ask them to print out all the articles. He would highlight the graphics he wanted and then drop it on Arthur's desk, and he would go back into the internet to find it. We digitized that version of the process, John and I
missed
did.
That. I and miss so, that.
I know you miss it. Everybody misses it. We all love it. Like I have a record player in this room. We love the old things, but for efficiency's sake,
yeah,
it's all on the phone.
By the way, if he's not watching. Cenk isn't watching. If we can continue throwing him under the bus, maybe not. But I think right now in his office, he has a stack of articles that's like as tall as his desk, just papers. When do you think you're going to read those? They're years old. Those people aren't even presidents anymore.
And we need to correct the record, John. And to correct the record, we have a lot of records here that use correcting records. Lots of records.
That's a good record. And let that go on record. And if the record fits, you must acquit. Brett, you seem to think that this is some sort of game. It's not a game. If it was a game, it would look like this. It would feature Bill Nye and it would be a cool game of science. You think this is a game? Some people love props too much. But anyway, Donald Trump in his diatribe outside of the courtroom eventually got around to the part of this whole process that bothers him the most. And it's not the gag order and it's not the biased, conflicted judge and jury. No, it's the temperature of the room. Take a look.
And I'm sitting here for days now, from morning till night, in that freezing room, freezing. Everybody was freezing in there. And all for this, and this is your result. Look at that, each one of them is snoring. And it's very unfair, very bad thing. Very bad thing, the whole world is watching this hoax.
We want to watch. We can't watch because cameras aren't let in there. But I love him following up what I have asserted is the oldest thing that ever happened, which is having a young intern print out articles so that you can feel good about yourself. He followed it up with, I'm a little chilly. I'm sitting in this courtroom in a full suit and I'm too cold. Okay, have you considered the possibility that Donald Trump, that the temperature in the courtroom is a service specifically to you? Because sometimes that's the only thing that can keep people awake. You get the room nice and chilly, it keeps you up. But unfortunately, in this case, it seems to have failed because according to Maggie Haberman, he fell asleep in court again today. Several times in one day, his eyes were closed for extended periods and his head dropped down twice. And I love that Maggie Haberman went into that courtroom just like, if your eyes close, I'm going to be typing. She's got a field open, ready to go for her nap update. And I'm here for it. Anyway, what do you think?
It's so good. The room, which is a little chilly, by the way. Also, there is an infernal racket outside. And these kids won't get off of my lawn at Mar-a-Lago. And then, but Biden is the old vegetable man.
Anyway, by the way, so we kind of, unfortunately, the timeline of the trial is always where like the best stuff happens right after the show. But I do know they're trying to fill out the remainder of the jury. So they have the 12 main jurors. They need 6 more alternates. They're working on that right now. And apparently multiple people today have already broken down in tears because they take so seriously whether they can be fair and impartial. And some of them feel like they've thought long and hard about it and they can't be. And I think that that's like admirable on some level. That's commendable. But isn't it amazing that you have some anonymous regular people in there that you will never know their name, who take their commitment to justice so seriously that they break down on the stand. And then you have Donald Trump and his legal team who are just like, give me a MAGA person, give me a MAGA person who doesn't care about the evidence. And that's like a person that we vest with power, influence, and authority. It's weird how that works. But anyway, I do want to talk more about the jury. Let's move to that right now. We only need like 5 more alternate jurors to be selected to be ready to go on the hush money trial on Monday. And the judge has implied that we might well reach that point where opening statements will be ready to go in just a couple of days. Now, of course, maybe we could have already been there. We lost a couple of jurors because of the intimidation that they experienced in no small part from Fox News. And Jesse Waters in particular was identified as a guy who had clearly tried to and succeeded in intimidating a potentially good witness until they removed themselves from the entire thing. Now the judge admonished the media to back off of the jurors and allow this process to go forward. But of course, Fox News and Jesse Waters doesn't care at all about the process. So after it was revealed that he had succeeded in getting one of the jurors off, what do you think he did that night? He started talking more about the jurors with that dumb little insipid grin. He's so happy with himself because he just wants to be a helpful tool to Donald Trump. He's been a tool his whole life. Now he wants to be a helpful tool in dismantling democracy and installing this guy in as an authoritarian. As is alluded to there, he does go after the jury. Here's a little bit of that.
Today's jury selection was just as bad as Tuesday. One prospective juror said she wouldn't believe Trump even if his tongue were notarized. She also called him racist and sexist on social media. Another one said her son worked in DC, and when asked for who, she said Hakeem Jeffries, the top House Democrat. One woman said she marched at the Women's March, is a CNN viewer, and used to work for the US Attorney's Office. And all three of these people told the court they'd be unbiased. This is some jury pool.
Yeah, are they on the jury? Why is he freaking out? They honestly described their background. Sure, they said they could be impartial. It's, by the way, the fact that you marched at the Women's March does not mean that you cannot be impartial or that you don't care about the evidence. Just as a little side note to this entire thing. But he's complaining about it as if they're the jurors. Because he wants, in the end, the Fox News audience to assume that the only possible outcome that makes any sense whatsoever is that Donald Trump is let off. The guy, by the way, Jesse Waters, who is advocating for saboteurs to lie about their background, MAGA people to lie, get on the jury, and then refuse to convict no matter what, is angry about the fact that other people are honestly describing their political and employment background. Okay, well, he goes on. We're gonna get to a little bit more of that and then we'll discuss. Take a look at this.
Another juror, a security engineer born in California without a college degree. He's married with 3 kids and likes to work with his hands. Woodworking, metalworking, not bad. Juror number 8, a retired wealth manager with 2 kids. Says he knows about Trump, but he's more interested in fly fishing and yoga. Could be good. Juror number 9. A single woman, no kids, who gets her news from CNN and the New York Times. Says she has opinions about Trump, but can put them aside. I think you know what that means.
I think we know what it means about you that you had all of those views. He somehow sees woodworking as like shorthand for conservative. I woodwork, I've built furniture. Jesse Waters, does Jesse Waters look like a guy who has ever once worked with his hands in a productive fashion, I should say. I want to clarify, actually making something. It's ridiculous the way that they use all of these things, the stereotyping that's going on, and all of this designed to pollute the audience against the jury and possibly pollute the jury itself. Brett, what are your thoughts?
Jesse Waters has made an entire career out of lurking under the skin folds of flabby old conservatives and eating up everything that they drop from their maws. It started with Bill O'Reilly. He was the field correspondent for Bill O'Reilly. And now he's moved on to Donald Trump. And I think because of him lurking and down under these flabby skin folds, we need to give him the new nickname, Salacious B. Dumb. After Salacious B. Crumb, the little rat creature under Jabba the Hutt that just laughed at Slave Leia in the bikini.
Brett, how did you not come equipped with an image of Jesse Waters photoshopped onto Salacious B. Crumb? But you're 100% right. They are there are these little like parasitic things, maybe symbiotes. I mean, they serve a purpose after all. He's doing PR for the authoritarian, but that's all it is. Just give me some of your droppings and I'll be quite happy with that.
And let's play a game called, let's switch it up, replace it. So he's trying to list a bunch of stuff like she was at the women's march, a disqualified person, someone who is not in the jury, which is the same, that equivalent, that is equivalent to how the Republicans always say, there are so many illegals that Biden just lets come across the border. And to support that, I will cite all the ones he caught. He's doing a good job if he caught enough for you to complain about it. That's it. You're like, oh my God, we're just letting the mosquitoes in. Look at this mosquito trap full of mosquitoes. Like, I'm just putting it in dehumanizing language that they use. But let's replace it. If instead of being at the women's march, they went to January 6th, that's who he wants on the he wants on the jury. He doesn't want an unbiased group. And this way that he does it is pure McCarthyism. It is a witch hunt. From the people who complain most about witch hunts.
Oh, you're right.
I'm not saying anything, but she's a woodworker. So she must be a godless, communist, anti-American murderer. That's the slippery slope they want everyone to live on.
Yeah, you're 100% right. It's a witch hunt, but with better data gathering. Like if he had lived back in Salem, he would be creeping around at night, peering in people's windows. Not for the reason that he would have otherwise been doing that throughout his life, but now to find witches. That's 100% what he would be doing. And you describe there, like he says something like, if you went to the women's march, you can't be a juror. And I sometimes wish, I think that we've talked about this, Brett. I wish we had like a game show intro for a segment that in my mind is called, is this a principle? Because it seems like he's asserting a principle that political activity can disqualify you, but it's not a principle. It is only targeted at your political opponents. If you marched, you know, with the Jews will not replace us people, do you think he thinks they shouldn't be on the jury? No, 100%. They state these things that have the skin draped over them of stating a principle, but it is not a principle, okay? There's a just it's a delivery mechanism for a rhetorical virus. That's all it is.
All right. So you need it. This is a character-based piece called the principal's office. And you call them into the principal's office and you have your glasses, and that's when you put your glasses on and you read. So you said this. Just like when the principal calls you into the office.
Brett,
is that what you
meant? Please. Record one of those for us and we will play it on the show. You should be one of our correspondents, okay? As well as a co-host. Okay, we're gonna set aside all of that. We need to talk now about Donald Trump and what he has suffered throughout this week and the new suffering that has been piled on top of him. Donald Trump has now had to sit through a full week of jokes at his expense from jurors, memes mocking him. And now, as we close out the week, the bombshell, a revelation of what Biden aides apparently have called him. According to Fox News, they refer to him as Hitler pig behind the scenes. And that is not acceptable. That's mean. That's immature. Don't do that, Biden aides. Now, Fox is not happy about it. I imagine Trump isn't happy about it. Spoiler alert, I have been checking Truth Social. He has not yet responded to it, but please God let him. I just want his response to that. So you might wonder though, okay, how do they use this in practice, Hitler pig? Well, one individual wrote in a thread about the trial, Hitler pig sleepy, which is almost cute. But not at the same time. Aides will often share clips of Mr. Trump with comments or say to colleagues, hey, did you see what Hitler pig said? That is helpful context for how it's used. According to four people who are granted anonymity, it started back in late 2022 after Trump invited Nick Fuentes, an avowed white nationalist and Holocaust denier, to dinner at Mar-a-Lago along with Kanye West, which is one of those sentences that someday we will look back on and think, how the hell did any of this happen? But it's real, that actually happened. And Biden team members typically use the nickname when Mr. Trump makes an outrageous comment or invokes the rhetoric of Adolf Hitler, which of course he has done quite frequently recently with his migrants poisoning the blood of the nation. So you might say, hey, great speech from Hitler pig, that sort of thing. Now, we have some of the right-wing reaction to that, but Brett, as a person who is a fan of comedy, you're a comedian yourself, what do you think of this as a little bit of rhetorical satire?
I love it. I think it's so great because it's people who are not good at insults coming up with insults. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay, we'll have the Hitler joke as the back burner. We'll come back to that if we can't beat it, but we got to be able to beat a Hitler joke. I also like the concept though. It's two things that are put together that don't really go together. Like pigs, like Hitler was a pig, but like I don't think of Hitler as a pig. I've seen too many Hitler cats for that. But and also like Germans hate dirtiness, so yeah, like it's all about cleanliness. So the whole mud imagery isn't there.
But plus, like Hitler was a vegetarian,
but so better. Yeah, and well, we try to keep, according to the movie Snatch, we try to keep the pigs vegetarian because once they get a taste for human flesh, it's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I love the idea of the Trump squad complaining about it, which happens later. But like,
yes,
this is the guy who's like, you know what I call Buttigieg? Boot edge edge. You know what I call Joe? Sleepy Joe.
They're good. They're good. They're descriptive.
Sanctimonious.
Sanctimonious. My God. Okay. Well, look, as I said, they're mad. Not just Fox News. The Trump campaign is mad. Again, Trump hasn't commented on this, but a campaign advisor named Brian Hughes said, Joe Biden talks a lot about decency, but he and his staff don't have a decent bone in their bodies. These ridiculous and gross comments reflect the failure and dishonesty of the entire Biden operation. Exactly. I think that Biden should not become president because some of his aides slacked each other that Trump was Hitler pig. Joe Biden is not alleged to have even been in the room for this to happen. Maybe he has. He's not alleged to have said it. He certainly hasn't said it publicly. So I think that you doth protest a bit too much. But to be fair, it's not the only time that the Biden team has been crass or that Biden himself has been crass. Politico wrote earlier this year that Biden had referred to Trump as a sick F who enjoys watching others suffer. A case could be made. One of the insiders claimed at the time that Biden had recently said, what an effing a-hole the guy is, referring to Trump. So, you know, he's sworn himself. But former speechwriter for President George W. Bush said, White House nickname for Trump is Hitler pig. How humorless and pathetic is that? And I will just say, it's good. I think it's good. Again, it's the weird juxtaposition of the two things. Is it unfair to pigs? Undoubtedly so. Pigs are one of the most intelligent mammalian species. They apparently are capable of compassion and empathy. They have sort of an emotional existence. They deserve better than to be lumped in with Donald Trump. But again, if you're gonna criticize a bad nickname, you can't do it in defense of Donald Trump. The guy was not only, as you said, Sleepy Joe, but Little Marco and Crazy Nancy and Bird Brain. These are not like multifaceted, nuanced, deep nicknames. This is like bottom of the barrel stuff. So I think that Hitler pig is acceptable and perhaps better than anything he's come up with yet. Any other thoughts before we close things out?
No, I love it. I love it. It's so dumb.
Okay. And again, in the same way that I am shocked that you did not come equipped with Jesse Waters and Salacious B. Crumb, how did you not generate any Hitler pigs? You have all this AI technology at your hands.
They don't like Hitler. They don't let you hit. I'm going to use the weird pervy one.
They might, no, don't put up any weird, I don't want to lose my
login
show
has expired. I might be out of tokens because I tried to anthropomorphize some platypuses yesterday.
Your login having expired on this might not only save my career, but also your very soul. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more to talk about. Apparently, Brett, your breakfast did not include feta. Maybe pay a little bit better attention.
Sorry, goat cheese, non-denominational cheese.
Well, I had said that the feta should go. Now, with the goat cheese replacing it, the entire thing needs to go.
Listen, I'm a real Hitler pig.
Oh my God.
Jesus. I'm a real Hitler
pig. How does that hair implies that Hitler and pig were not the only things in the prompt for that AI image.
I put Hitler pig, Donald Trump, just because otherwise you saw the ones when I said Hitler pig. It isn't.
I'm going to lose my show. I'm going to lose my show. And
it won't,
I don't
put
have
a Hitler
fallback
mustache on there.
Okay.
Maybe I'll put Charlie Chaplin and we'll see.
We are going to talk now about other news, starting with this.
I therefore move that the Senate proceed to closed session to allow for deliberation on the question as required by impeachment rule 24.
Madam President.
Majority Leader.
In our previous consent request, we gave your side a chance for debate in public where it should be. And your side objected. We are moving forward.
And that is it. The Senate side of the impeachment process for Alejandro Mayorkas is now done. Sorry to Marjorie Greene. I know she was banking on this being a massive thing for the election year, but no, it's done. And Chuck Schumer alluded to why it was done, why there was no debate. It was not Chuck Schumer that made it that there would be no debate and a quick resolution. It was the Republicans, as we will describe. But you should know that two articles were initially offered up for debate. That's one was willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law. So they're asserting that Mayorkas is not complying with the law. And the second is breach of public trust. So what the Senate Majority Leader did, obviously he has no interest in this impeachment. But in his defense, he did offer up a time agreement to Republicans that would have allowed a certain amount of floor debates, votes, amendments maybe, trial resolutions, points of order. And then they would eventually get rid of this entire thing. So he was willing to allow them to have a bit of their show trial before the entire thing finished. Now, Republican Senator Eric Schmidt of Missouri objected to it. He said he wouldn't agree to the proposal. Now, as a result of that, maybe the entire trap that Schumer, I guess, was setting was triggered. He filed a motion to table or kill the first impeachment article because, quote, it does not allege conduct that rises to the level of a high crime or misdemeanor, which technically can be classified as an opinion, but I think that that gets about as close to an objective fact as is possible in politics in 2024. And so there were rounds of procedural votes, and then 51-48, the vote killed that first article of impeachment. Schumer moved on to the second, blah, blah, blah. They do some procedural stuff and the thing is done. Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, by the way, voted present, not voting to try to continue this sham impeachment of Mayorkas. Now, as a result of that, they didn't get their discussion. And it's because they objected to the initial plan that Schumer put forward. And I know what they would say. Well, but that was never going to result in him being impeached. And duh. Yeah, no, it wasn't. It never was. You don't have the majority. You also don't have any evidence or cause on your side. But let's pretend that that doesn't exist. It was never going to happen. Now, Marjorie Greene, as I alluded to earlier, is not happy about this. She tweeted, Chuck Schumer just refused to hold a trial for the impeachment of Mayorkas, who is single-handedly responsible for carrying out Biden's deadly border invasion. And let's pause for a second there, because I want you to think about how crazy that is. It's not that there is an invasion and Mayorkas isn't stopping it. Biden is invading the country and Mayorkas is carrying out the invasion. That's not a thing that's happening. It's a thing they're doing, which is about as crazy a conspiracy theory as I've ever heard her put forward. Although there's another one we're going to get to later in the show. So she goes on to say, it should not be this hard to bring accountability to those who are destroying our country. But it's even more outrageous that the Senate did not even hold a trial. Senate recorded vote was 51-49. Now that will be interpreted by her base as being some sort of massive injustice because they neither were presented with nor cared to be with evidence of why he should be impeached. But I'm sure they're going to be very mad about this. And we'll turn to one other guy who is. But Brett, I want your thoughts about this.
I mean, this is the part where I have to look at it and say, I'm sure if I was in mock trial as a kid or, you know, model UN or some kind of weird fake parliament thing, I would really love this move. I think I kind of understand it. And maybe there can be like a episode of The Circus that really dramatizes it for me that he was like, fooled you. And got rid of these impeachment hearings. But that is what happened. And it is ridiculous anyway. And I think the thing, there's so many different kinds of conversations you can have. But for me, the one that's most compelling is like, is there a better way to characterize it than this? This is what happens when you don't have serious people in Congress.
Yeah.
Like they do weird stuff like this where they say that, oh, we all know what's happening. We all know that it isn't that Biden's not enforcing the rule of law at the border. They always tout how many people he arrested unknowingly. They kind of tout that and saying it's a problem. But they have to cite causes. Yeah, they have to cite evidence that implies he is addressing and solving the problem. And it's a difficult, easy touch point issue to publicize. And they're just doing it. And at a certain point, it's like they're not serious about it.
Yeah.
This is like rote, boring politics where they're like, I got nothing else to do. I've got no new ideas. So I'm just going to be more insane about the old ideas. And by that, I mean, they're instead of just complaining about it on Fox News, they're impeaching Mayorkas. Come on.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And by the way, you like this reminds me of like, you know, the like, you know, gradually turning up the heat of the pot that the frog's in or whatever. Yeah. Like doing absolutely nothing with your majority, doing these clown shows or whatever, and that's all that you do, you would think, like objectively, well, wouldn't their base be furious about this? Well, sure, but this base has been trained over years and years and years, if not decades, to expect nothing from government. In fact, to assume that anything the government does is worse than doing nothing. And so if you don't have to do anything, but they want the red meat, then this is enough. This is fine. This doesn't help them. It's ain't gonna help you buy a house. It ain't gonna help you retire. But whatever, I guess Mayorkas is bad. I would say, by the way, that if he is committing treason by allowing the invasion to go forward, I feel like standing like next to the gibbet, like with him, should be all the people who stopped the border bill from passing, I guess, because that theoretically could have stopped some of the invasion and you didn't allow it, including Marjorie Greene. So it's this weird thing where simultaneously, the mere fact that he's secretary while the invasion is happening means he needs to be ejected. But if you are actively trying to continue the invasion, you're cool. You're a patriot. It makes no sense to a reasonable person, but unfortunately, reasonable people are not and never have been a majority in America. That said, Ted Cruz, very angry about this. How much do we have time to talk about Ted Cruz? Let's play this Ted Cruz video and see what we think.
It is mandatory what the Constitution provides. The House, as you noted, has the exclusive power of impeachment. The Senate has the exclusive power, and I would argue the responsibility to try impeachment. In our nation's history, 22 times this has happened. 22 times the House of Representatives has impeached an individual and sent articles of impeachment to the Senate. Prior to yesterday, in every case in which the Senate had jurisdiction, so there are four cases where the individual had either died or left office. And the Senate concluded it didn't have jurisdiction. But in every case where it had jurisdiction, the Senate conducted a trial, the Senate heard evidence, the Senate adjudicated the matter, and every senator voted guilty or not guilty. That had been the continuous precedent for 200 years until yesterday when every Democrat decided they were not going to do their constitutional duty. They would not allow a trial to happen. They would not hear any evidence. And instead, they simply ruled at the outset they were not going to consider the matter.
Okay, so that's a whole lot of jibber jabber coming out of that possum faced loser's mouth. But it amounts in the end to this. It is unacceptable for Chuck Schumer to have tabled those articles of impeachment because we in the Senate have a divine duty to consider impeachment. Impeachment is serious and we have to consider it. You don't just shut it down. You don't just stop it. You have to consider it. Consideration. Well, consider this. When it was Donald Trump that was going to go on trial as part of the impeachment process, Ted Cruz did the exact same thing. Sorry, he tried to do the exact same thing. He tried to table that impeachment. Now, he didn't have the votes to actually do it, but he tried and failed to do the thing that he is now blathering about how it's some sort of dereliction of duty. So look, nobody is going to be surprised to find hypocrisy coming from Ted Cruz, but it's like comically easy to track down the hypocrisy now. Again, we could do our is this a principal thing or the principal's office. Anytime they state something that seems like it's a value or a principle, something concrete and ideological, you scratch at it just the slightest bit and it utterly falls apart. Brett, what are your thoughts?
It wasn't until now that I really was able to crystallize what every Ted Cruz interview is like. And it is this. I don't know if anyone's seen Gremlins 2. And it's Billy Peltzer. It's like some rundown sad guy that moved to the big city in hopes of being a real journalist / chasing his dreams. And then Ted Cruz looks exactly like the vampire, like the one time high quality actor host who had to abandon all principles so that he could, because he knew he valued being on TV more than anything. Yeah. And he's sad and depressed. Like, this guy was like, I used to do a really good show and I loved it, but now I'm just being an idiot for network. Well, Trump is network. Fox News, all those people are network. And Ted Cruz is like, I went to Harvard, Princeton, and Yale, and I was gonna be a Supreme Court justice, but there was something about me that liked the limelight. So he just goes to it like a moth to the flame, and he incinerated his integrity, yet somehow, like the burning bush in the Old Testament, does not get consumed by it. But this is the only way that he can relay Donald Trump's divine message to the idiot followers who are gonna end up worshiping a golden calf.
There's a lot of metaphors there, but I think they're largely accurate, and thank you for that. Yeah, no, they all the interviews do follow a very similar sort of thing. Like, this dude does not want to be a senator. He wants to host like a podcast that's like a combination of like Strict Scrutiny and Howard Stern. That's all he wants. He wants to like say something inaccurate about a law and then talk about like a woman that he thinks is hot. That's it. Anyway, we're gonna get to more news after this. Okay, we have perhaps the most ridiculous story of the show today with this.
Tell us about Jewish space.
No, why don't you go talk about Jewish space lasers? And really, why don't you f*** off? How about that?
Thanks.
Okay, so Marjorie Greene clearly didn't want to talk about space lasers there, but the idea was put back into her mind in that interaction. And once she cooled off a bit, she thought, maybe there should be. And now, at long last, Marjorie Greene just might get her space laser. And it will, in fact, arguably be a Jewish space laser, like she has fantasized about for years, because she had an amendment to the Israel aid bill. And I swear to God, while this will seem like a joke, it is only a joke in that everything in American politics is a joke these days. Here is the amendment. Secretary Blank, by the funds made available by this act, such sums as necessary shall be used for the development of space laser technology. Now, we don't know the religious identification of the laser itself, but don't get too excited. The Israel doesn't get the space laser. No, she has a different target, as you probably saw in that amendment. It is literally going to be funded so that she can fry migrants at the southern border from space. That is what she spends her time on. That is what she fantasizes about. You have a young woman in Guatemala. She has a young child. She doesn't feel like she has economic opportunities. Perhaps she is experiencing domestic violence. So she makes the long and perilous journey all the way to the southern border, only to be burned to a crisp by Marjorie Greene's space laser. This seems like sci-fi, but it could be a reality if she gets what she wants. And by the way, that is not the only thing that she is offering amendments for. She filed this amendment that maybe would protect against the space laser. She wants an Iron Dome at the southwest border. Because you know, Arizona and Texas constantly under rocket attack from Mexico. So why wouldn't we have an Iron Dome? Look, all of this is dumb as hell. It is so stupid that talking about it in a serious way feels like it will make us dumber. But it does need to be addressed. Brett, let me know what you think.
I love it. I don't believe it. So many of these things are so ridiculous, but I'm like, I see it. I don't believe that that is the actual amendment. Like, I can't. I want to be the person who later, when it is revealed that someone within whatever part of her office hates her magically, you know, woke up one day and was like, I'm against her. But like, I can't believe that this was actually entered into the record as a potential amendment. Like, are you kidding me?
But
like, I want one.
No,
obviously, because I'm Jewish.
This is what we should have. We have Marjorie Greene can get into genius. Office. Once that happens, all bets are off, man. The Congress is not a serious thing anymore. God. It's just fun times. It's just games. That's all it is.
But there were funny people in Congress. Like, I miss Al Franken. Like, what would you do if you had Al Franken still in the office? Like, what would that be like? But they were always stupid, but it didn't matter this much. Like, I mean, I'd made Simonson signs a long time ago, and that one was making fun of all the morons who show up on the floor of Congress and are just like, to show this, like the Mike Lees of the world. Oh, here's Donald Trump on a raptor. They're so dumb, but like, it's It's just like, I also hate it because it's such a good idea. There should be a space laser that can vaporize a human target. Like, obviously we need that. This woman who doesn't trust the government and thinks that the government's out to kill you and is taking advantage of the power that we give it to corruptly murder humans in America willy-nilly with, you know, vaccines and letting, you know, a state, letting Biden allowing an invasion of America. She wants the government to have a space laser.
She, like, I want, again, she's a Christian. So she's only doing what Jesus would do, which is migrants crossing the border, laser, Terminator 2.
Remember when Jesus went into the temple to throw the money changers out and he was like, and like shot lasers out of his mouth. That's, yeah, like that's Palpatine. The Lord. So saith the Lord, amen.
Okay, here's what we're gonna do. I understand that we only have a few minutes left. We're just gonna close out because you need to know about the other amendments. Oh, you think that's all the amendments that she put forward? No, our crime wave thing will wait for next week. No, so space laser, okay, obviously. Iron Dome, despite the fact that, does Mexico even have ICBMs? They've certainly never attacked us with them. In any event, she also put this for, this one's clever. Anyone who votes in favor of this act to fund Ukrainian security, stop them from being utterly annihilated by Russia, shall be required to conscript in the Ukrainian military. You see, you guys care so much about Ukraine, you should have to serve. And again, is this a principle? Does she favor aid to the IDF? Of course. Does she think she should have to conscript with the IDF? Of course not, because it's not a principle. It's all just blah, 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 blah. That's all that's coming out of these people. And there's way more besides. Okay, you can't fund until Zelensky resigns because she hates this guy that became this sort of like symbol of hope and defiance against one of her favorite politicians in the world, Vladimir Putin. Directs the president to withdraw the US from NATO for some reason. Prohibits funding until Ukraine bans abortion, because why not? Prohibits funding until Ukraine turns over all information related to Hunter Biden and Burisma, because of course, Marjorie Greene is one of the dumbest people to ever walk the face of the earth. So of course that would be an amendment. Now, that forward, that said, we move forward to one that I think is actually at least a little bit clever. This is Representative Moskowitz who put forward this, okay? There's a lot there. It references how she's continually trying to block aid to Ukraine and the consequences of that. If Ukraine does not get this sort of lethal aid, it is incredibly likely that they will be conquered by Russia. Many, many civilians will be killed. Those in the government and the top ranks of the Ukrainian military will of course be executed. All that will happen and it will help Russia to achieve its goals. So it is the sense of Congress, this amendment ends, that Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene should be appointed Vladimir Putin's special envoy to the United States of Congress. That's kind of funny. I don't think it's gonna happen either. But anyway, it just, look, everybody goes into office having some things that they care about, some things that they don't care about. The fact that the policy that she is most opposed to is aid to Ukrainians who are being murdered. Most of them Christians, by the way. Remember, she loves to pose as if she cares about Christians being killed. There are Christian civilians, Christian children being killed, dumped into mass graves. And the fact that the US would assist them, she finds utterly unacceptable. Brett, I'll give final thoughts to you. What do you make?
I love it. I think it's great. It just reminds me how ridiculous it can be if we let it get ridiculous. I don't know how to fix it, but my God, like Moskowitz has some really good moments on the floor of Congress, but like at what are we doing? They're just finding ways to create PR for themselves in, yeah, you know, in the most ridiculous places.
And look, and as we always say, and I'll end with this, fundamentally, the issue isn't Marjorie Greene. You are always going to have dumb, ignorant people like Marjorie Greene. What she's doing is what Brett is saying, is that she's trying to get, like, she's trying to grandstand for people. The people are the problem. The fact that this works for her is the problem. The fact that so many people have no ability to critically think, they have no capacity for empathy, that they are this small and this pathetic and this broken and this, all of what they are, that is a fundamental problem. We are the problem. Marjorie Greene is just a symptom of the problem. There's a sickness. She's the rot on the surface. But there's a bigger societal problem that needs to be fixed. Now, as we end the first hour, I appreciate the people who are keeping us updated on this. I am following the trial. There is apparently a man who set himself on fire outside of the courthouse, or at least near the courthouse. We're just getting the initial details of that, so we can't go in depth into it. But yes, it does appear that this tragic thing happened, and I'm sure we will talk more about it. That said, that's all the time we have for the first hour of the show. Thank you, everybody who's been listening to the podcast. But for those of you who are watching live, there will be more on the other side of this.